Gratitude is not about warm, runny feelings. Warm, running feelings are just fine. But if you're grateful for what you've been given, be of service. And there are 10 million ways of being of service. You know, I mean, newcomers, visitors. There's a special kind of service with old-timers, you know. No one wants to talk to old-timers. We're so cranky. Be nice to old-timers at some time today and change the world, you know. Service. I was overhearing my sponsor talk to somebody. Sometimes when he's talking to me, I can't hear a word he says. I don't know if you have that experience with your sponsor, but it's like I'm in a glass bubble and I see the mouth moving, but I don't know what he's talking about. Probably about himself, you know. But I overheard him talk to this kid. And the kid was saying, are you surprised you're sober? Now, my sponsor's been sober more than once. He has one of those checkered careers. And he said, no, I'm not surprised. I'm sober. I've been sober before. You know? He said, the surprise is I'm grateful I'm sober. That's the surprise. The surprise is I'm really glad to be here clean and sober. That's gravy. And I think that's real true. I'm real glad to be sober most of the time. And when I'm not, there's some footwork I have to be doing. And sometimes that's writing, and sometimes that's inventorying, and sometimes that's making amends, and sometimes it's just a long day. You know? I think life is hard. I think it's hard to be here without sedatives. The best advice I ever got at a meeting, and we don't give advice, but the best advice I ever got at a meeting was try not to get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or too tired. That changes my life, because I forget those things. I skip food, I'm busy. Then it's 4 in the afternoon and there's no hope. Yelling at people, cutting folks off on the freeway. I think I need to do another inventory, and what I need to have is lunch. You know, lunch. Angry. I get angry a lot. I don't mind that, by the way. I rather enjoy anger. It gives me focus. It helps me get things done. And when I'm real angry, I can even vacuum, which is... Thank God that only happens a couple times a year, but it's scary stuff. I have to learn how to do something with my anger where I don't hurt you and I don't hurt me, and that's what a lot of the garden comes in for. You can dig and chop and do a lot of stuff in the yard. Scrub floors, paint, you know, vacuum. I get lonely sometimes, and that embarrasses me because I know a lot of people, and you're supposed to reach out, you know. Newcomers, old-timers, visitors. Don't they know who I am? Why don't they say hello to me sometime? I lived in L.A. for 4 years. I moved back to Oakland, and I felt I felt abandoned, but I was the one who left. And I called my sponsor, and I said, I'm so lonely. And he said, yes. And I said, yes! Fix me! And he said, there's nothing to fix. Sometimes living beings are lonely.
Well, what should I do?
Go to meetings, say hello to newcomers, say hello to old-timers, say hello to the visitors. Make some phone calls, write a couple letters, send some emails. I mean, say hello to people. Some say hello back. And it passes. That feeling of being lonely passes. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I have no stopper. There's nothing in me, there is no trace of wiring in me that says, you've done enough, slow down. I go and I go and I go and I'm an adrenaline junkie and I get way overexcited until suddenly one day I wake up and there is no God and there is no hope and the program's not going to work for me and amphetamines look real good. And what I've discovered is this is not a theological or philosophical crisis. It means I'm tired. And starting around 10, 15 years of sobriety, you know those early years? I had to start learning how to take time off, recreate, rest, replenish, because otherwise it doesn't get taken care of and I'm just pathetic and dangerous. And I find I can do that most of the time now. And my last point for this morning, before we all run for our lives, it just jumped right out of my head. Hold on. Might have to keep you here for a few moments, but it was my favorite thing. Gone. So there. This is called letting go. Oh, came back. If you let go completely, if you completely give up all hope of it ever coming back, it comes back. I find this, the step that I'm finding really useful, because I believe in the steps, I think they're very practical things. The step I find very useful in my late 20s of recovery is the 10th step that says, when wrong, promptly admitting it. I'm wrong a lot. And the more sober I am, the more I realize how wrong I can be. And I have said stupid things, I've done stupid things, I have mouthed off in inappropriate situations. And what I try to do is apologize as soon as possible, and then if I need to make amends, I need to make amends. Two Christmases ago, my mother was 94, she died this past year, 94, and we have not always gotten along. And I was going way out of my way to make a nice Christmas Eve. You'd think she'd notice. I have brothers. We were all getting together. We were going to do stuff. I called Christmas Eve morning, and we were going to do some stuff in the home she was in, and it was going to be churchy, and it was all going to be fine. And I was being really nice. So I called her just to check in and said, I'll see you tonight. And she said, how are you dressing tonight? She's terrified I'm going to come as a hippie. She never really got over Haight-Ashbury in 1968. And I was there, and she's convinced I'm going to come looking like a hippie with all of her cute little 90-year-old friends. And I'm a 57-year-old male, and I don't like being talked to as if I were 10. So I just rage. Ah! Why don't say that? Blah, 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 blah. My mom has a tone of voice used only on the phone, and suddenly I'm 11 years old and mad. So I have a little 3x5 card printed by my phone, and it says, let me call you back. Because I can't remember it. But I just went into a rage, and then she repeated it again and repeated it again, and this is an old drama, and it's so pathetic, and who cares? And I just hung up on her! 26 years sober, a priest for 25 years, 57-year-old, college-educated white male, hanging up on his 93-year-old mother on Christmas Eve. I'm doing real well. Rage! And then she called right back, and she was mewing like a pathetic kitten, and don't hang up on your mother. If I had guns, I would have used them. Rage. Now, what I know about this is it's my craziness, not hers. It's my craziness, not hers. She's just doing what she does. I'm the one who's dangerous. I leave, I go for a walk, I make some phone calls, I talk to a couple of people, I go and chop something in the yard. I call back when I know she's out, and I simply said, I'm sorry for hanging up. I'll see you tonight. We'll have a good time. I did not go on to say, you shouldn't talk to me like that, because then you talk to me like that, and I'll give her 3 years of the results of therapy, which she doesn't need to hear. It's my behavior. And we went and we made the connection, and it was fine because of the 10th step. I didn't need to hold the grudge. I didn't need to act badly. I didn't need to keep the resentment going. But she can get to me in a way that no one else could get to me. Mom. You know? So I'm very grateful for the 10th step. I'm very grateful it says when wrong, not if wrong. And I'm grateful that I know I can be wrong a lot because I'm a lot less defensive. You know? And I think the program enables us to breathe free air as grown-up women and men, and for that I'm grateful. Thank you.